fool you. One of the servants, said Cana. They had a pair of maids, a cook, a seneschal, and a footman who doubled as the night watchman. Had someone attacked the house? Any number of people wanted Cana dead, and Corvallis's father would never forgive his defeat at Catacaron 10 months earlier. No. If they screamed, it would have awakened both of us. Corvallis shook his head.
8 months we've played this game, and I still cannot get used to the idea of servants.
Cana shrugged. If it helps. Think of them as Anton Koularis's servants, not yours. A man like Anton Koularis has servants. She looked into the fog-choked street. It was still deserted.
True, said Corvallis. I'll go speak with them and see if anything is amiss. Let them know you heard someone screaming.
Cana smiled. They'll think I'm flighty and irrational.
Ah, said Corvallis. But you are Anton Koularis's mistress. And a man like Anton Koularis has both servants and a flighty, irrational mistress.
He put a quick kiss on her lips.
Go to sleep. I'll speak with the servants. If there's anything wrong, I'll come get you. Otherwise, you'll want to be rested when we speak with Master Basil tomorrow.
Cana nodded. He has news about the new Lord Ambassador from Istarinmul, I am sure. She shivered, and not just from the cool air against her bare skin. She remembered the last time she had seen a Lord Ambassador from Istarinmul, the day that Razir Shehan had come to Marsus. But his arrival had been a trap. Razir Shehan had allied with Andromache of New Kaia and smuggled troops into the city. Cana remembered the ambush, women and children screaming as lightning fell from the sky, the shouts of fighting men, Nikolai sobbing for his mother, the cold blue glow in the immortal's eyes. She looked back at the street and saw a gleam of blue light in the mist. Cana went rigid.
Cana, said Corvallis.
For a dreadful moment, Cana thought she was dreaming, that her nightmares had come to life. A man walked on the street below, moving at a rapid pace. He looked like a caravan guard out for a night of drinking, clad in leather armor and a ragged cloak. Yet there were no taverns nearby, which made it an odd place for a caravan guard to go after dark. But his eyes reminded Cana of her nightmares, specifically the blue glow coming from his eyes. Corvallis, whispered Cana. His eyes. Corvallis frowned. He's an immortal, said Cana.
So, said Corvallis. What is one of the Padishah of Istarinmul's elite soldiers doing in Malorae?
They looked at each other, and Cana knew what they had to do next. Cana had taken many names and disguises in her life. Countess Mariana Near-Eyed, a minor noblewoman. Marina, the maid of Theodosia, the leading lady of the Grand Imperial Opera. Marius, a caravan guard. Anna Kalenius, the daughter of the wealthy master merchant Basil Kalenius. Sonia Tornesti, the mistress of the rakish merchant Anton Koularis. But she changed names and identities as easily as she changed clothing, for she was a ghost night fighter, one of the spies and agents of the Emperor of Nymar. Cana moved to the wardrobe, catching sight of her reflection in the mirror as she did. In the moonlight, she looked lean and pale, the muscles in her arms and legs visible, the scar below her navel an ugly gash across her belly. The moonlight caught her pale blonde hair and turned it silver. Blonde hair. She was just vain enough to find that an irritation. But dyeing it had made sense. There were many among the nobles and the magi of Malorae who would kill a black-haired, blue-eyed woman of the ghosts on